The Power Hour, hosted by Yogi Chug and Dharminder Devan. The Community Hour, to elevate the level of dialogue and debate in the community, where they will bring you people, organizations, and events making a meaningful impact. An informed community is a vibrant community. Join us for the Power Hour every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. on Bali 92.3.
Welcome to the Power Hour, brought to you by Yogi and Dharminder on Bali 92.3 FM. This hour is designed to bring in a level of dialogue and debate in our communities, and we're fortunate that every single week we have a conversation that we believe is a conversation that personifies not only the success of individuals, but there's community organizations. Dharminder and I have always taken pride in the fact that an informed community, engaged community, and an empowered community creates beautiful vibrancy. The sense of giving, living in this community, we have so much to offer. The diaspora has accomplished so much in Silicon Valley, and each week there's been a story. And that story has been a story of giving, and the story of success, and the story of understanding that in the face of all adversity, we come back to aspire to do what we can. Today we're privileged and we're honored today to have in our studio a human being that I believe personifies all the ideals that we've talked about on this program, the immigrant story, and the work that they do. Nathan, just like many other people, Nathan Ganesan is an individual who serves deeply in our community, but he's a family man, he's a parent of two children, he's married, he has an IT career and in a technology company in Silicon Valley. The story we're going to have today is about his own personal immigrant story. We're going to talk about his nonprofit that he started and the early infancy of where it began and where it's headed. It is my privilege and honor to have on the Power Hour, Bali 92.3 FM. Nathan, welcome to our studio.
Thank you very much. Yogi, for inviting us. And it's actually, it's quite an honor for me. And from my bottom of my heart, I really thank you for choosing me as one of your guests. I know you might have met several individuals and who personify what you described. And I'm glad to hear that I'm one of them for you. And I will definitely share my story and the path which I'm following right now.
You know, Nathan, on this program, we've had many guests. And right. We've had many guests from diverse backgrounds. But sure. The common theme in that is the immigrant story. And out of that immigrant story, we're hoping that the listeners of Bali 92.3 FM, whether they're listening live, whether they're going to listen on the web application, they can listen live on 92.3fm.com, or whether it's a recording that we're going to have later on, the question always remains that in our diaspora, in our community, there's been a common thread of the early immigrant story. Nathan, you came to the United States. When did you come to the United States?
I came in 2000. It was May 2000 on business visa for a couple of trips.
Yeah.
And then moved with the family in 2000, December.
Wow. So you're a recent immigrant. If you really look at the immigrant story, the immigrant story has been of about 50, 60 years. Your immigrant story is about 17 to 18 years.
Yes, it's going to be 18 years this year.
Wow. So Nathan, let's talk about that. You know, one of the things I've often talked about this program is the immigrant story about the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. And your immigrant story is that of the
2000.
90s. For the purposes of for the benefit of the listeners of the Power Hour, the immigrant story is a different story for every individual, the circumstances with which you come to the United States. Nathan, the America 18 years ago, was the America then a little different than the America today?
Definitely it's different.
Yeah.
When I came in, everything was new to me. But I could see what one thing is same is the opportunity, the land of opportunity.
Yeah.
It still exists. Of course. Doesn't matter who, with the government, what happens in the White House, but still, the opportunity, it still exists to do what you believe or what you want to do. It still exists. But the immigration part of it, there's a lot of changes. Being in IT recruitment, I face this every day in and out. I see that. And if I see my own journey, yes, there's a lot of changes that have happened in the U.S. itself.
But Nathan, I'm talking more about when we all come as immigrants, there's this trepidation, right, of success, the hope of aspiring to accomplish everything you want to accomplish. Coming as a new immigrant to this country, Did you find that there was a support system of people willing to lend a hand to help you succeed?
Absolutely, absolutely. Without that, I don't think so I will be sitting here today. I would definitely, because this is my personal story, I'm sure I can take names. My good friend, Mani Gopal, is my child best friend. He is my, even today, is my best friend, who to pick me up from airport. And I stayed with him for 3 months. And he took care of me, everything. And, you know, if he wouldn't have given me that hand, lending hand, I don't think so where I would have been landed when I landed. No idea. So after that, in every situation of my life, there are number of friends, families who helped us and who've been part of this, my journey.
Now, Nathan, would you say that those circumstances, coming to a new country where friends uplifted you, did that end up defining you as a human being?
Definitely. Friends, you know, plays a more important part in my family, in my life, for sure. After my family, I would look up to my friends than relatives.
You know, when you come into the United States, a lot of times people come back and tell us that there's always this sense of second guess. Have I done the right thing? Have I left India? Have I come to the United States? Will I be able to succeed here? Were some of those thoughts, tribulations, something you ever had to go through?
Never, never. I'm a person who, once you take a decision, generally don't go back. And in this also, yes, I don't think, I'll think that, I would thought that, you know, oh, it should have not come, or should it go back? No, in fact, I'm going to share something when we talk about it, that, you know, a situation came like that, but I stood up and I want to be here, this country, I want to be here and I want to give back here.
You know, that, Nathan, is the story of resilience. You know, often we've heard on two sides of extremes, right? The community will come back and say the early years were difficult for them. And some will say, in spite of the fact that it was difficult, the support system helped us succeed and we got to the point where our resilience cured us. And that is the story of the immigrant story of our diaspora. I think this diaspora has had a disproportionate level of success because as we come here, we come with a succeed and a willingness to come back and do the best that we can. And it seems your story is no different than that.
That's exactly happened. I came in 2000, immediately, you know, the dot-com crash, right? I came working, you know, want to work in U.S. and I was looking at, you know, bigger companies' names, which I used to see only on the internet and the early. And then now when I started working and all this dot-com crash happened, the company was almost in a situation, okay, it won't be able to sustain anymore. And we were expecting our second baby. It was in 1993, and my green card was under process. So now I cannot go back, because if I go back, you know, if we have and the child, we cannot come back into the country with the child because he will not have any status. And if I have to stay here, it was very hard. Yogi, that is where the resilience, what you talked about, my willpower, I stood up on that. It was very hard. Even many of my close friends don't know, but I'll share it today as being a personal story. It was hard. You know, we have to take a huge pay cut. And it was not even hand to mouth. So I started, I spoke to my parents and I said, you know what, I'm not, even in fact, my parents were here because we were expecting a baby. My parents were here to help us out.
Sure.
Even my dad told me, why don't you come back?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I said, no, I want to be here. This is a great country. There's a lot of opportunity. In everyone's life, you know, the clouds passes, the phase passes away.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm going to do this. And my, like my dad, I'm a very strong person and willpower. I started working in restaurants, worked in grocery store, worked in postal annex. And, I, you know, whatever good marketing I can do, I was helping. So earning additional to see that, you know, I get through that phase. And with all his blessings, we had the baby in 1994, October, and in December, we had our green card. I'm sorry, 2004. Sorry, 2004 we had our baby, and then we had our green card.
You know, that's amazing. And really, the story and belief that when one door closes, 10 open up. Do you believe in that? Do you believe?
Absolutely. I have another next phase of my life. That is true.
It is?
That is true. So it is there. You tell me when I should say it, I share.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you, we want to talk about a lot of work in your organization. We'd want to talk a little bit about that as well.
Sure.
But I think that for the benefit of our listeners, one of the hopes that Dharminder and I have always had is to recognize that we live in a community in a diaspora of people of various levels of successes and from broad spectrums of life.
Right.
Some are engineers, some are doctors, some are business owners, but everybody is driven by one goal, and that is to come back and be building the best that we can for our families and then in the process coming back and building an environment in which we can succeed. And I think our very DNA is that of resilience.
True.
And never looking back, and really to come back and say, you know what, I'm going to take the bull by the horn, and I'm going to come back and fix this, and I will do what it takes. And whether you're spiritual or not, or whether you believe in the effect of your work, I think our immigrant story of what you just mentioned about doing what you had to do, Nathan, is indicative of the story of many immigrants that sure. I've talked to. Would you find that in this process, the purity of our community and the purity of human beings was always there to uplift you to the point where, while nobody had to take responsibility for your well-being, but did you feel that there were people who were there along the way and said, Nathan, your struggle is our struggle. We're going to be in this together?
Yeah, definitely. Again, I as I said, my good friend Mani, I always share everything with him, and he shares everything with me. That's how we are, thick and thin friends. So he had given me a lot of other options. Man, you can do this. You if you think you can do this, you need to take a chance. Do this way. Invest in, I will invest. You do some business for you. I am ready to support you. Sure. He was the man who was always with me, and I used to talk to him. But along with that, my own willpower is what I would credit to my own willpower and his blessings of my, Sadhguru Shirdi Sai Baba, who was there all along holding my hands and lifting me, He, in his saying, preachings, I've seen, you don't really give the fruits just like that. You have to work hard, earn towards it. That's exactly what I tell my kids today. You don't get anything, just what you want. Earn for it.
No, that's an important point. And now the next conversation that I want to have with you is about the immigrant household. You came to the United States with a certain sense of conviction. And then you mentioned about the birth of your child. And
right.
Now you have two children, right?
Two boys, yes.
So the concept of helping them as immigrant children. Now, they're born in the United States,
right.
But they're an immigrant family.
True.
The values, the ability to understand that we have some responsibility to both ourselves and to the communities, does that come naturally to them?
They've seen dad working. They've seen what dad go through. I do speak to them. And especially when I had my second phase of challenge, life challenge, both were there with me. And that is, after I got my green card 2004, early 2005, I changed a job. And 7 years had a nice ride. Not a roller coaster, perfect ride. But in 2012 December, again, I had to take the second hit. Hope no more hit, but I took the second hit. I got laid off. When I got laid off, I told my kids only one thing. It's going to be, I told them. I thought about it. Should I tell them, not to tell them? I did tell them that this is what it is. So don't worry, you will have food on your table. But I want you to guys just focus on what you do. Study. You playing tennis, just play tennis. Focus on you, do what you do. Don't give me any additional pressure to me. And they were beautiful children. My wife supports. They were just doing what they were. That allowed me to focus on what I wanted to do. And that's where all this Community Seva was born.
And we're going to talk a little bit about Community Seva, because I think Community Seva is a remarkable story. A segment on its own can be done. But, the listeners of The Power of 92.3,
sure.
Our hope is always for them to understand the human being, his story, the family, and the struggles and the triumphs. Because when people are listening today, they may listen to only 10 minutes of the program, they may only listen to 15 minutes of the program, Nathan. But our hope has always been that somebody can relate to your story. Somebody who's gone through a situation of success in a company or a failure of a startup or a job and they got displaced or they're no longer working or in a situation where their children are in a situation where they may be similar to your children who are understanding, caring, compassionate, focused on their academics or struggling through a phase when the children may not be where they want to be. Our hope is that people can relate to a story and talk about if Nathan went through this and he had his opportunities of redefining himself and he too succeeded, I too can. And that is the vibrancy of The Power Hour, we believe.
Beautiful.
It's that conversation and that dialogue. So Nathan, you've been blessed with friendships, you've been blessed with a vision of resilience, you have a strong willpower, you have a supportive wife, you have understanding children who are doing what they can to the best of their potential. And you're able, you're guiding them as a parent to become the best that they can. Are you finding that as you do your outreach from community to community and you go and see different places, are you looking at our community as a community that is accomplishing so much more and the potential is just rising? What are your own observations about our Indian American South Asian community in general in the Bay Area and North America for that matter?
Sure, Yogi. I mean, to the extent, you know, after I started this community, Sevan, I got involved to meet with so different community members. I see this very clearly is there is a lot of good people in the community, very kind-hearted individuals in the community. There is no doubt. They wanted to give. They wanted to give a food to a homeless person. They wanted to throw a jacket on him, definitely. But they didn't know how to do it. They were just thinking about it or how to do it. You know, maybe is it wrong to give a brown bag to a person who's standing on the traffic signal? They don't know. But they all had the good intention. You know, our community people, I always credit them. They are really good people. Today, I'm seeing so many of them just open up their heart and they're valiant and willing to support. This morning, yesterday, I was in another seva, and this lady came and said, tomorrow is my son's birthday, there is a seva. And this morning, she sponsored the meal, and we surprised the boy with a cake. Wow. I'm telling you, they will be in cloud nine today.
That's awesome. And Nathan, that is what I hear on this program a lot. There are so many people that have come on this program, and they've talked about the fact that the South Asian community in this new immigrant journey, right? Our immigrant journey is very less. You know,
right.
The Chinese American, the Irish Americans, the Israeli Americans, you know, there's a long immigrant story, hundreds of years in some instances longer, right? But our immigrant story is about 60 years old. And what I'm beginning to notice now, and on this program, we talk a lot about the immigrant journey, the phases. The early years were just coming to the country in the 60s. In the 70s, we began to survive.
Okay.
In the 80s, we began to come back and say, you know what, I can live the American dream. I can do well. I can have the proverbial house with a white picket fence, and I can, you know, make sure that I have enough to provide for my families. The 90s saw a disproportionate level of success. And along with that came both the triumphs and the struggles that come with any immigrant community that evolves. And then we look at the 2000s, right, the 2010s and 2018s, and now what we're looking at, a certain sense of awakening to the point that America is my home and my country, and I want to give back more here than in some instances even the charity that we used to do back in India. It's kind of flipped a little bit. Would you say that's your observation as well?
It's not flipped. That's what I'm trying to talk about everywhere where I go. There are several nonprofit organizations in the U.S. doing great things across the world. But guys, you got to look at the community. You got to support the organizations who are supporting your local community, where you belong, where you are raising your children, where you are earning your bread and butter. It's more important that you need to give back to your community. Set an example for your own children. When you don't want your children to ask them when a homeless person is standing, what are we doing for them? Right, do something on your part. Set an example for your kids so that they tomorrow become a better citizens of this country. So that is what I'm trying to tell everywhere I go today.
You know, Nathan, when you were working, that's a great story and it's a great message. And we're going to weave a bit of that message today into our segment of this program on the Power Hour on Bali 92.3 FM, where we have Nathan Ganesan, a community activist, the founder of Community Seva. We're having this dialogue. We're going to continue this discussion, and Nathan, we're going to go into a song break very, very soon. And when we come back from that song break, we're going to have a long conversation about Community Seva, because I believe Community Seva is going to be one of the greatest contributions that Nathan has contributed back. The sense of community and giving and your vision and your spirit, and now that of your board, and now that of your volunteers that give every single day and now on weekends and holidays. That story is a story that I want to talk a little bit about, Nathan. But before we go into that song break, when you were working and you were in your corporate life taking care of a family, your boys, and you went through the struggles, was something always in the back of your mind that you needed to do something different? What was that? What drove that desire to do something in you while living the tough life of an immigrant?
It's always give back to the community. That has been always there. And, you know, in India, I couldn't do much. But definitely here, I have the opportunity. As I said, it is a land of opportunity. And always, one thing I always say, believe in is, you need to give back to your community. Whatever it could be, whatever could be the form, whatever the amount of work you want to do, always think you need to give back to the company. It is not about yourself always.
But in spite of the fact that, weren't there times when your personal life took over and what you wanted to do, you could not do just because sometimes there's just not enough time in a day?
No. Time is not an excuse for me at all, and it always had. And, you know, I was even providing free services to seniors all along. I find ways and means to support the community.
And as a part of that, your family was supportive of you as well?
Absolutely. They were always there. If they wouldn't be supporting, I wouldn't be able to do this by myself. It's not a one-man show. Your family is very important, integral part of your system. You have to have their support.
Well, we're talking to Nathan Ganesan on the Power Hour, Bali 92.3 FM. We're having a conversation about Nathan Ganesan, the immigrant, his story, his hopes, his aspirations, his resilience, and then we're going to talk about the organization, the genesis, what spawned the idea, and how today it is a organization that is being mentioned by many as the premier model of emulating an organization that believes in the sense of giving. Your dreams are big, your vision is large, and you have hopes and aspirations from not only your own organization, but the potential that it has. We're going to be right back after the song break. We're going to continue the dialogue and remain with us, because the next part of the dialogue is going to be even bigger and better than the first 30 minutes of this conversation. Welcome back to the Power Hour, brought to you by Bali 92.3 FM. And this program is our program. It's a community hour, and Dharminder and I have been hosting this program with one goal and one goal alone, and that goal has always been to elevate the level of dialogue and debate in our communities, to talk about individuals, to talk about community organizations, and specifically talk about events that we believe are pushing the envelope. On the first segment of this program, we talked to Nathan Ganesan, the founder of Community Seva, and we talked about his own immigrant story, the story of his own hopes and tribulations, his own struggles, but that very sense of resilience, a commitment of him, his wife, and his two children to be a part of that journey along with them. And when the face of immigrant journey had some ups and downs, Nathan never wavered.
Yes.
And in that conversation, we talked about his formative years as an immigrant, how he had to go through changes in the workforce, which made him relook at things and the opportunities that he had to do in some instances simply to survive, because that's what was needed. And that is the story of Nathan Ganesan. And so, Nathan, we talked in the first segment about your formative years, your life, your immigrant story. And you always felt that giving back and doing something in this country was not only needed, but it was a sense of obligation.
Responsibility, I would say. It's
interesting you mentioned that. I said obligation, you said responsibility, Nathan. Define responsibility. Why did you feel that you had to do something?
As I said, it is a responsibility. You know, that's how, you know, you want to teach your children. You need to set an example. There is, you know, in schools and in your life, you always look at an example of, look at Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa. You know, you always refer them. Why? Because you learn something good from them. So we need to set an example for our children, for our own community member, our own friends. Why not? Our own friends, we need to set an example. So that way, I feel it is, you know, responsible that you need to give back to your community, do whatever the party wanted to do. And it is very important.
So when you were thinking about doing that, and the fact you started an organization, or at least you had an idea.
Honestly, I didn't have an idea.
Tell me about that.
So, I mean, I'm an ardent devotee of Shirdi Sai Baba, who always said, if you want to see me, feed the hungry. So even in India, whenever I go to Baba temple, I used to buy a couple of loaves of bread, and there's always, you know, people outside the temple. I used to give it to them, you know, to everybody, make sure everybody gets food. That has always been my thought. I want to give it. So when I came back here with the initial, you know, immigration thing, I didn't do much at that time. So once I really started that 7 years, I started settling down. That's where we found way how, you know, to do the same thing what we were doing in India in a very, very tiny scale. That's where me and my family, we used to, let me step back and say, you know, even in India, I'm not a festival person. Even I don't like to celebrate my own birthdays. For me, even I used to fight with my mom, you know, you do all these festivals in the name of, you know, God. I'm not against any God, by the way. I'm not any religion, but you always make this food, that food, you eat and everything, but that's not real happiness. Real happiness is sharing with someone, that too with less fortunate. That's what Baba did all along. And, you know, in any festival, you used to gather all the whole, you know, village, cook food, and you serve them. So we used to go to San Jose Downtown Park, buy pizza, water, banana, cookie, and we used to take them and, you know, give it to them. We made sandwiches also. And then one of the days, the health inspector caught us and said he threw the sandwiches on the trash. He said, no, you cannot be doing this. He asked, how did he do it? I said, in our garage. He threw it. So now I figured out, okay, there definitely we can do it, but you have to find a different way to do it. So we started buying pizzas, and there was, we called, bought in the store. So no one can question. We used to have the receipts till our seva is done. So
you adapted.
Yes.
That's interesting. See, you're belief in what you needed to do was to serve those that needed it the most, and that was what drove you on a personal basis.
Right.
And then you began to feed people, and that just became something that you, your family, your children did on special occasions.
Only on special occasions, like, you know, birthdays and anniversaries, or even on a Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving. Those were the special occasions we were doing it.
See, Nathan, if I heard something like that and your friends were telling that, one would say, wow, that's amazing that you're choosing to do this, because you're addressing a problem head on. Hunger or homelessness is a reality no matter where you live in the world. And
true.
America, for all its affluence, in spite of the fact that we live in Silicon Valley,
true,
people have been left behind. And there's a saying that sometimes people are two paychecks away from homelessness. When you started to do this, you felt a need because that was just how you were raised, your own deep philosophical thinking about seva and helping those and feeding the hungry. But I think you were onto something. Didn't you find that you were tapping into a need? That's the Silicon Way, tapping into an unmet need.
Definitely, you know, there was, I did realize that there is definitely a huge need. But again, you know, don't know how to do it. You don't know how to start. Right. But I thought at least we'll start doing this way. We know hunger is very important, and we were seeing everywhere, you know, in downtown San Jose especially. And now you see in every corner, every traffic light. So we, you know, started with a small scale. And as you said, you know, if you would have heard this, you know, the friends would come along and join. And that's exactly happened. And very hesitantly, I posted a few pictures on Facebook. And then my friends started coming and started pinging me saying, hey, can you, my daughter's birthday coming, my son's birthday coming, can you please help us? So literally I used to, every single weekend, I used to, you know, go buy pizzas, water, banana, standard items, cookies. It's not in one place, all one place. I had to shop around to four different places, pick up those, and I used to meet them, and we all used to collectively serve this, you know, pizza lunch. So started from my own family, now it's become friends and family.
Wow. You mentioned something that I was just reading about this, your sense of spirit of what the spirit you wanted to move forward. You know, Nathan, it appears to me just having this conversation with you, individual to individual here in the studio, something drives you. And that spirit of moving things forward, you have hopes and aspirations. You started small, your own family, then your friends began to join, and then the word got out. And you just mentioned today that you met somebody last evening, and she said, is there a seva tomorrow? I'd like to participate in that. Are you finding that one individual leads to a new group, and a new group leads to a new city, and you've been able to scale this to the point that while the potential is unlimited, do you feel that you built the right foundation along with your core volunteer team, your board now, I understand, you have a nonprofit?
Absolutely. With his blessings, yes. This, whatever you ask me, everything is yes. You know, just one individual, one family, friends and family. We have an organization. Great amount of support from, we have a core team of around 30 families. Amazing. I, you know, pray, include them in my prayer every single day. They are my backbones and pillars of this organization. And now, wide reach, we have around 1,500 volunteers.
Wow, 1,500.
1,500 volunteers. And, you know, and I'll get to the count of food, how many meals served when we get to the right segment. Yeah. I don't want to jump, but...
No. We're headed there now. So you have 1,500 volunteers, man. That's impressive.
All in the Bay Area.
All started from a pizza and a food inspector that came back and said, you can't make sandwiches. And you evolved. You began to address the challenge. You worked around it. And then you started your nonprofit in 2013, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 2013, sometime in March, you know, one of the weekend. This is a very important fact I should add. My son used to, you know, he plays tennis, and he was 7 at that time, 6 years ago. We were driving and to a tennis tournament. So he asked me, the little guy, that, Daddy, we didn't go and serve them pizza today. Who's going to feed them? So that's an important, message to me that, you know, we need to do something that even tomorrow Nathan is not around, the seva continues. And that's when, you know, our common good friend, Mahesh Nilaniji.
Yes.
So he and his sister, Ushaji, used to come, even when we were serving pizza, he used to come, just bring, two crates of water he used to bring. Just come and support me. Then I asked him casually, Mahesh, I'm planning to start something so that, you know, we can do bigger and the reach could be wider and more people can get involved. He said, man, you just do it. So he's the man who pushed me.
Amazing.
Mahesh is a great person.
Yeah.
He's on our advisory committee now, by the way.
That, yeah.
And I'm very thankful to him. And he's been still finding all ways to help community seva. And that's when I said 2012, I was laid off. So I had a lot of time in my hand. When I was forming community seva, I was jobless.
Wow.
I was looking for a job. Even someone asked me, I don't want to name, asked me, what do you want to do with all these things now when you're looking for a job? You need to focus on that. I said, no, no company is going to call me on a Sunday morning when I'm serving pizza for an interview. They're not going to call me at that time. That is my time. I want to focus on this. Come back, you know, your stress-free mind. Come back and you want to look for a job, you do whatever you want to do. And that's when I, you know, Baba's given me enough time for me to do all this work. In June 2013, formed the organization. And that was in June. In October, I got a job. Wow. Then I continued on, you know, both life.
Now, you talked about 30 families that are your biggest
pillars
and the foundation of ensuring that your idea, your spirit has now become their work.
Yes.
It's not about you having to come back and nudge people. It's the foundation of people who believe in the work that Community Seva was launched with. And it every day continues to perpetuate itself in a way that it's spawning the spirit of giving, food, homelessness. So let's talk about this. So what does a typical Seva look like? What happens at a Seva?
So the way Seva look like, you know, we have partnered with several shelter organizations who provide shelter to these homeless. And as I said, right from park, I wanted to take you to the next level. So the best thing I found was the shelter organizations who provide temporary housing to these homeless individuals. I'm glad I did that, Yogi, because if you see City of San Jose has imposed a rule that you cannot serve any more pizza or anything in San Jose Downtown Park.
Yeah.
The community would have been down the road. We don't know where we would have been. Glad I did that. So the typical, to answer your question, typical the way it happens is we have partnered with several shelter organizations. So we are on their calendar of every single weekend. You know, we have 8 days in the month, 4 weekends. We do 20 servings in a month, which means simultaneously we are doing either breakfast on the same day we are cooking lunch or cooking dinner in multiple shelter organizations.
Hmm.
And we have a team of a nutritionist in the team.
Wow.
Yeah, so we want to, you know, plan a meal which is healthier, not just make something and, you know, pasta and just give it to them. Make a nutritious food, balancing with protein, carb, you know, everything. And then we have a team who decides on the menu. We plan a menu every single month based on the seasonal, or, you know, if it is May month, it is Mexican Cinco de Mayo, so we make Mexican food, Thanksgiving. Wow. June and July is American menu. So we plan very carefully, we plan the menu, and we have a team of who buy groceries, and we try to, you know, as the number of sevas increase, we try to, you know, again, improve that also by, you know, ordering online, things like that. And then every seva is sponsored by a family like yours and mine. That's where I saw, you know, so many people have come. If you see 20 sevas in a month, 250 sevas in a year, so 250 sevas are, families are sponsoring this meal.
Amazing.
So we buy the groceries. I posted yesterday on Facebook, 5 o'clock in the morning, it was really pouring and the egg was wet.
Yeah.
You know, we just go there to the shelter and we buy, take the groceries. The sponsors come. The sponsor's family comes if they want to invite a few friends. And we have always, every seva, we have a new volunteer who wanted to jump on the ship. They join us. And we have our core team, a couple of them. Each seva is led by two pillars. So two of them lead the show. Don't even count me. So then other members come. We all collectively go together, cook nothing else other than focus on putting love on this. Love is the ingredient we put on the food. Just cook, serve with a smile, and just leave the, you know, get the instant gratification.
You democratized addressing the question of homelessness. You talked about planning, a nutritionist. You take this seriously.
Absolutely.
This is not just let's do seva. You have built a method around it. You're hoping to scale this. It seems to me that you're
definitely
building a foundation for a larger apparatus. And it seems to me that the spirit of what you have wanted is now captured in Community Seva. You have a board. You have the pillars that you can count on. And you have legions of volunteers that help with this, ensuring that even if Nathan is traveling for 2 weeks, the show goes on.
Yeah, exactly. I was for my birthday weekend on January 27th, I was in India, and my lovely team of volunteers, they served 2,000 meals. 2,000 meals, because we were supporting the winter shelters also. And Nathan's not even a single presence, physical presence wasn't there yet. Even though my mind was always here, but they did it. That is exactly the reason why Community Seva was born.
And it's sustaining every day. So, Nathan, from the purposes of just the perspective of numbers, right? Silicon Valley thrives on numbers.
Yes.
Right? Numerical, what's the ROI? Everybody talks about that. So on the Bali 92.3 FM, the Power Hour today, how many sevas have occurred? And I think you mentioned about 250, but more specific, how many meals, how many people have been served?
We have so far, as of March, we served 60,500. 60,500.
60,000 meals.
60,000 meals. We have delicious hot meals, nothing from frozen. We cooked and served.
And backed by a nutritionist guidance.
Nutritionist guidance, and we have a team of people who just love food, cook food, and, you know, they all planned it in such a way. The menu comes out every month, delicious.
And the volunteers are anywhere from young children to the elderly.
Yes. I wanted to talk about the youth when you're ready.
This,
so
this is it.
Yes, we also have a team of youth volunteers. But to answer your question, anywhere from 12 plus, sometimes we do accommodate 10 plus, depending on situations. And 10 plus age is even, if you see, Mahesh, you brought a team of Priya Living
yes.
individuals who are 80 plus.
Wow.
They stood there for 3 hours to cut the vegetables. So sky is the limit, and if you want to really give back, the you know, you can always board the ship.
So children. Are doing this for their own sense of giving and community hours and the volunteerism that most of our children feel they need to do. So are you beginning to find that more and more young children are becoming a part of this as well?
Definitely. That's one of the reasons we saw the lot of young children coming up and you know wanted to participate. Yogi, I'll tell you, our list is so long. For high schoolers, and I feel bad that we are not able to accommodate them everywhere because the shelter has an age restriction, unfortunately. But I have a solution for that also now.
Okay.
So we have formed a youth team led by our youth, our own you know core pillars, their children have formed a team. They are doing several plannings have been going on, and by June we will have a more structured process on our website. Kids Corner activity is going to be there, where kids can come and participate. Now, as we speak about the expansion, you said, right, we are a lot more thing. And I'm very excited to share this news, Yogi. You might have not, I've not posted on Facebook yet, is we got our own centralized kitchen now.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yes, it is amazing, and it is one of my dream.
Wow.
So we got our centralized kitchen. You know what happens when we go and serve food? I said there are 7-8 locations we support. But we are not there on all 8 locations at one point in time. We are there in 1, 3, or 4. But what about the other locations? Those kids goes hungry. When we walked in once to check this, you know, the cooking oven in one of the shelter, we were wearing this red color shirt and we were walking. A couple of kids came behind, oh, you got food for us? We felt very bad. We were not planning to cook in that shelter. But they saw, by seeing the shirt, they thought that we got food. Which means that shelter, there's nobody cooking. Those kids are going hungry. So that's when we started planning. Okay, then, you know, with the blessings of San Jose City Mayor Sam Licardo and Park and Recreation team, we found a location, a community center, which is, you know, built by the city, which is not used. And we did a lot of shop around for that. And, you know, our team supported us again. And we all went and finalized. And we got a city health permit done. So we have our own kitchen now. Now we can cook and serve every location.
You know, this is the perfect time when people are probably saying, you know what, I love what I'm hearing. Where do they get more information? What's your website?
Our website is communityseva.org.
Simple.
Simple. Community Seva. Seva is spelled as S-E-V-A. It means a selfless service. That's what we do. And we have a Facebook page, very pretty active. It's facebook.com/communityseva. We also have an open group. If someone wants to join, it is supporters of Community Seva. We are on Instagram. Our Facebook is, you know, again, our Facebook is done by our one of a pillar of our organizations. It is her time donating, you know, for the Community Seva. It's a beautiful website she has done. Already 3.0, she's been wanted to upgrade. Lot of information, tons of information about what we do, about homelessness. Everything is available on that website.
Nathan, you're scaling this organization along with your team of volunteers. The spirit goes on every weekend.
Every weekend.
And hopefully, God willing, maybe one day it'll be every day.
That's what someone told me recently.
And maybe the plan is, maybe, but you know, in due course of time, things have a unique way of unfolding. But you have a bigger goal, a bigger ambition.
Sure.
What is that?
The second goal, which is almost, I'm seeing the end of, you know, the light in the tunnel, which is, Yogi, we are bringing a mobile shower to homeless people.
Oh my God!
Seriously,
God, you know, it's just amazing. That is, wow! You're truly making you're taking the solution to those that need it the most.
See, you don't want community service shouldn't be labeled as, you know, oh, they cook and serve food. We care. That's the message. We care. We now we are partnering with an organization still working on. So we are identifying a site where this mobile truck will come. A 40 homeless person can take shower, and they can also launder their clothes. And you know, as a youth program, we also you know, listeners should hear this. The, you know, even 5 years to 6 years, 7 years, you who cannot come to the shelter, we go to their house and prepare a hygiene kit. This morning after the show, I'm going there.
Right, you mentioned that to me.
Yeah, right. So we are preparing a hygiene kit. What is inside is, if you have a toothbrush, paste, soap, shampoo, and a body lotion. All these packed will be, you know, the items will be packed in the back. And then those will be used when they go to a mobile shower. When they take shower, we give them a packet. Right now we are giving it in the shelter, but in the larger plan, we will be handing over to them. And they take shower. And the most important thing also, we are planning to give them inners and a t-shirt too. Because we don't want them to use the same clothes to wear after they shower. So we really care. And the amount of love they put in our people, cook and serve, this is also important. That's if you see the tagline of Community Seva, feeding the hungry, which is cooking and serving the homeless. This is the serving the homeless. We give away backpacks every winter. We put in, you know, with the winter gears, gloves, socks, towel, hygiene kits, rain ponchos, you name it, all the winter gears we put in and we distribute to that. And it's very handy for a homeless person. They love, even one of them told me that they like with a lot of, you know, zip. So we give backpacks in the winter and now the shower. That's the extension of the serving the homeless.
You know, Nathan, I was preparing myself for this interview and I've known you over the years from the work that you've done. And certainly I've been able to connect with you on a personal level, which we don't need to talk about on the Bali 92.3 FM. However, today you have inspired me in a certain way because children, the youth, your right. core members, your advisory board now, and I think Mahesh and Ash Kalra are on the advisory board.
Ash Kalra, Maheshji, Paddy Curtis, yes. Murali Chirala.
All good people.
David Park, yes.
And that is a story, and I'll tell you, what I've heard from you today just sends me this great hope that in solving a problem, you can scale it to whatever degree possible as long as you have the willingness and the desire to succeed and you're backed by some people who believe in the cause maybe as much as you do and in some instances maybe even more than what you believe can be done in due time.
That the last point what you said is exactly true. You know, it is the people who believe in the cause, and those are the people who are in our team, in the board, advisory committee. They always want to give back in one form or the other, and they have chosen Community Seva.
You know, Nathan, you've done tremendous work, and I know that you mentioned about Assembly Member Ash Kalra, who's on the advisory board in his personal capacity. Well, I'm proud to say that he's on the line right now.
Wonderful.
And Assembly Member Kalra, we've been having a conversation with Nathan first in his immigrant story, but then the last segment has been about Community Seva. And I am just mesmerized by the sheer work that Nathan started in the early infancies of his idea of Seva and how now this has perpetuated into a larger initiative where so many people, and he mentioned about 60,000 meals that have been served to people. Mm-hmm. That is so amazing. And Assembly Member Kalra, I know, you know, you have been watching this work and you've been a part of this and you've applauded and rooted for Nathan on the sidelines. So thank you for being on this air as we're talking to Nathan today.
Thank you.
You know, and when I heard my friends Yogi and Dharminder were having my other friend Nathan on, it was hard to resist to call in. Really just, you know, I think the reason why you've seen such a response to Community Seva is it's genuine. It's all from the heart. It's all love. There's no ego involved. That applies to Nathan and all the volunteers. When you see the volunteers, none of them are there for any other reason but to serve. And I think that comes through. That's why in a very short, relatively very short period of time, it's gotten the response it has from the broad community is that it's that you don't see that kind of authenticity so much these days. And I think I've gained from it. I feel like I've gotten so much out of just being adjacent to the growth of this organization and being able to see it with Nathan, of course, as its heart and soul. But I think there are a lot of hearts that are pumping along the way that are keeping it going. And so I just wanted to mention, because I haven't had a chance to tell Nathan this, that this year, and it's going to be probably in June timeframe, I've selected Community SEBA as our Assembly District 27 Nonprofit of the Year.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You heard it on 92.
Oh, my God. Yes. I know. I don't want to cry. I'm a very emotional guy. Thank you so much. You know, you've been a backbone. You've been a support. You've been there always personally and also for the organization. And you set an example. You're not just saying this because... For I don't know, Yogi, you watch this. For his own birthday, he came with his dad and he cooked and fed. In spite of his busy schedule, weekend, this man, such an energetic bunny. He's all around the places and he was there to serve the people. And he has seen. That is what our community service is. When they come, you come and volunteer and get to see what we do and see the gratification you receive.
Assembly member Kalra, and if I can call him Ash, is a people's person.
Yes, he's a people's person.
He's a person who gives, and believe me, Nathan, when I find people like Ash are supporting you, that speaks to the height of that. Ash is one of the most, he's a very person with a tremendous amount of integrity. And seeing your success and working with you just gives me that there's just so much more that can be accomplished. And for him to recognize you as the Nonprofit of the Year
is
just phenomenal, I think. And Assembly Member Kalra, thank you for that announcement.
No, absolutely. I thought what better way than with friends both in the studio and listening. I know on air, but I tell you what, I'm gonna have a lot of joy doing it because
thank you.
I think that especially this pinnacle year, 5 years, and you've heard about all the success. I think this is really a great opportunity to reflect as well. To certainly go full steam ahead, but it's also a good time to reflect on the great work that's been done.
Thank you, Assemblymember Kalra. Yeah. Really, it's a blessed day for me. Thank you. I can't ask for
thank
more.
You. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that, Assemblymember. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, bye. Nathan, the work that we're talking about, certainly just a reflection of the fact that your work is being applauded and appreciated. I think today's a special day because, obviously, recognition is always appreciated, all the work that you do, but your selfless work, your volunteers are selfless in this regard. This is the moment in time on the Power Hour with Yogi Dharminder on Bali 92.3 FM, where we talk about your call to action, your hopes and your aspirations, Nathan. This is the opportunity for you to say what you believe your volunteers of Community Seva, your board, your advisory board members, your core family, 30 pillars, your call to action.
Please give back to the community in whatever you can. I know every one of our community members have a kind-hearted individuals. You always thought about you wanted to do something good. And now Community Seva is a platform which has been set and with a lot of kind-hearted individuals. Please join us and be a part of this journey and make a difference in someone's life. As Mother Teresa said, you cannot feed 100 people, just feed one and join us. And I'm sure the 100 become 1,000, 1,000 becomes 100,000 become million, I'm sure I positive. But my only request is set an example for your children and support your local community. Support a local nonprofit organization. It could be Community Seva, anyone who's doing a tremendous work in the local so that your children, the youth, can be a better citizen tomorrow and they can get involved and give back to our country.
Nathan, certainly... For the listeners today on the Power Hour, if you can share with them, is this gratifying?
Totally. Sure. Totally gratifying.
Let's talk about that for a moment.
Then I need another hour, Yogi.
You have 30 seconds. But
30 seconds. Every time when we go and we serve meal, and the way they express they clap their hands, the food is so delicious, guys. Thank you. They beat their chest. And people have come back and told me, Yogi, that they want to come back and volunteer with us. They don't want to remain homeless forever. No one wants to remain homeless forever. But they want to go back and stand on their own feet And they want to come back and do this. Just imagine how beautiful it is. There is not one person, more than two, three people have said that. There's women, you know, we go and support a church shelter which is only women and children. And they all, you know, today they sang a happy birthday song. They said, are you okay? Can we also sing? You know, they want to be part of this joy. And it is every time we go, it is, words cannot express the gratification, Yogi. That's all I can say. I'm speechless.
I can see that. And today the seva is going on. While we're talking, seva is going to happen today afternoon.
Today,
as well.
Dinner also?
Dinner also. So people are going to be fed today.
Yes.
Nathan, your story has been a story that I believe the listeners of the Power Hour today are going to walk away with something that's going to leave them back in their mind, that you can dare to solve a problem. And if you believe in something, do it. You can have people galvanize around it. And beautiful magic is created when it happens every single day. And you can dare to dream big. You can scale bigger. Your kitchen.
Yes.
Your mobile shower. God willing, maybe there'll be a shelter one day.
That is my end goal. You hit me, Nile. Yes, that is the one. Finally, with all blessings, that's what I would like to have one.
And that is resilience. And for the listeners of the Power Hour today, we're coming to the end of this program today, but we've had a spirited dialogue, a discussion with Nathan. Nathan, a big salute to you, a big salute to your volunteers, your team, your advisory board,
yes,
your donors, and you have a gala coming up
in
September for the first time.
Yeah, first time. Thank you. Thanks for mentioning that. It's on September 22nd.
CommunitySeva.org. But to the Power Hour listeners, we urge back and come back and say one thing. Our immigrant story has been a remarkable story. The sense of giving, being involved in our communities is vitally important. It is what defines us. It is what America measures us every single day. I urge each one of you to be involved in your communities. CommunitySeva.org is just one opportunity, but give back. On this message, we always end the program by saying, we'll be back again next week on another edition of the Power Hour on Sunday from 10 to 11. But in the meantime, I encourage you to be involved. Register to vote. Be involved. Contribute back to your communities. Serve on commission. Serve on nonprofits. Let's make our communities the best communities possible. And let's continue to serve the tradition that defines who we are as individuals. God bless.